Blog Talk Radio.
Honestly, I'm trying to stay focused. You must think I got to be joking when I say I don't think I can wait. I just need it out. Let it swing my way. I just need some dick. I just need some love. Tired of fucking with these lying niggas, baby. I just need a thug. Won't you be my plug, ayy? You could be the one, ayy. Can start with a handshake, baby. I'ma need more than a hug. Girls can never say they want it. Girls can't never say yeah. Girls can't never say they need it. Girls can't never say nah. Girls can't never say they want it. Girls can't never say how. Girls can't never say they need it. Girls can't never say nah. Oh nah, give it to me like you need it, baby. Want you to hear me screaming every breathing. I don't need a reason, baby. I want it till you can't fight. I can get it to you right, baby. I wanna be a healing. I can be real good. Please don't get in your feelings. Hey, I need some love.
You don't really call on me like you should. Think about roll through the hood. Problems, but everything's all good. My love, your nigga doesn't want smoke with me. Nah, no way. Trust me, it's all okay. Trust me, it's all. You just need someone that's calm and patient. Submission, domination. Arch back, deep stroke, white wine, we smoke, that's my best combination. You just need some dig with no complications. You just need some, you just need some late night attention, unconditioned. All that you're missing, my babe.
Fucked up, shouldn't even have to justify. I get it, I'm on your side. I get their way all the time. Besides, pleasure not meant for one side. You should just do what's best for your mind. How about I just take my time? You call up my line, I fall up inside you. Girls need love too, I know.
Something.
Girls need love.
Girls need love and
tell me love.
Girls need love.
What's the good of doing? She needs love and
girls need
played the fool before, stared at the sun till it burned out my eyesight. Blind but a man must move on. No time for regret. Who lives to rehearse? Rehearse the times you were here. Through other lanes I drove myself crazy, wondering why they weren't. You may think I'm a fool, but still, I did it
all for her.
You know I did it
all for love.
When you stayed in the sun,
stayed in the sun too long.
Even the sun,
even the sun moved.
worthy of some southern hospital. See, we them northern boys with nose and howls. NYC living ain't nothing like it. See how me and my peeps fit? We jigsaw. Sometimes I play big saw to cut the deal. And we keeping them bills paid and meals in the mouths of many. A noble job if any. Money ain't everything, but everything makes me want it. But won't the son of my name for the claim. Throw exact game like a dice on the mic device. Stay above middle class for life. Not an easy task, but I've grown to love it. Dub it to tape, watch it with a grin while I speak to my men's about the world problems and girl problems with no immediate way to solve them, but I'm on
the
case.
I make the best of the life I've been given, making the most of the moment among the living, and it feels good. Just to be the man that I want to be, do what I can, cause I refuse to see. I've heard your love, you've been good to me. Life, I can't ask it, am I worthy of you?
Am I worthy?
And pull them cords down. I got some things on these 9 ounces to vent. We on a mission, y'all. Doug Fresh, dirt out the ground. Looking for the treasures in life. A Bambino picket fence around the residence. I wore these shackles here for 13 years. But the only real slaves is the ones we record on. We afford all the checks and God's blessing. Trying to own a thousand island like we style addressing. Patience for the main course. Don't envy the position to remain boss. Cause the man next to the man above the exec. Don't give a damn if I papered yet. Sometimes it make me wanna go and make a bet. I did away with Malcolm and release the stress by any means. These petty dreams don't only get me stuck in a box doing a dick shot and
I,
huh?
Jerking off the damn chain.
But anyway, I'll keep my head on.
The most of the moment, I'm living and it feels good. Just to be the man that I wanna be. Do what I can, cause I refuse to see. I've heard the love you think has been good to me. Life I ain't asking, am I worthy of you?
Am I worthy?
I know people who tippy toe to their own stomping ground. Master not making a sound to stay safe from the local star renaissance. And the response is usually the same, wishing it was like it used to be. None of that world is new to me. That's why we roll like eyes on a ghetto girl, brushing off some no-name claiming she's this ghetto pearl. We in the living beyond, not living fast. Me and my comrades became dads young. Try to have fun amongst responsibilities, like filling these accounts full. And got caught up in a party and bull. Sometimes you gotta have the nerve to say some rhymes because some mind take offense. Try to make your life tense, but we still here, still gaining the love, still standing above most.
I make the best of the life I've been given, making the most of the moment among the living, and it feels good. Just to be the man that I wanna be, do what I can, cause I refuse to see.
Insecure, but for whatever reason our relationship relationship remain mature, even when she caught feelings, cause I stay on tour. As I reflect on before a recap, the situation I guess from experience comes education. We set on a path to opposite destination. It's best to chalk it up and add it to the elevation, then eventually flow off to lost communication. I call but lost store information, and with time forgot it. It's not like I'm all in tears about it, but the fact of the matter remains that I miss the shot. Hypnotic, important as a narcotic. The bizarre logic of it all is why the clock tick, pages of the calendar flip. We can't stop it. Time will either tell the tale or turn a love toxic. Now was she real or an illusion of this optical confusion with the accent of ancient Egypt? Or could it be that she's the one I was supposed to be with, and together walk this twisted staircase to something realistic? Damn, her lips having me addicted to her presence. Front page material on essence of queen imperial before her adolescence. And as she grew into a woman, she became refined. I never knew another like her in my lifetime. So now I travel through a tunnel of space without a place on the face of this earth. With this pain getting worse, driving me insane. Or at least I'm touching the brink of sanity to think of how I can link or contact her. I was a fool before, but more wise after the fact. I'm analyzing how I'm wanting her back and wondering exactly where she could be on the map. I'm just sitting here spinning the world on one finger, reoccurring thoughts of this brown skin singer. Yo, the psychotic, the hypnotic, yo check it out, the most melodic hypnotic.
Epiphany Radio Universe. My name is Mojave. I'm your moderator host for this evening here on World Council. Tonight we're discussing trauma bonding. Sorry. dumping and healing. World Council is an egalitarian conscious creative panel that discusses dialogues around community issues, relationships, and current events that affect the Black community here at Epiphany Radio Universe. Now, if you're listening to us, feel free to call us at 319-527-6300. you have to press 1 to be heard. Or you can stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/IEYEC, the letter C, people. Feel free to definitely call in if you have a question and let us know exactly what you're thinking. All right? Since we're talking about trauma grounding and trauma dumping and trauma in general, we're going to discuss what causes trauma. You know, how do people trauma bound? How do people trauma dump? And what is the appropriate way for us to come through and actually heal each other? Now, before I get started, everybody who's on the panel, please make sure that you press 1 so that I know that you're here and I can actually add you as we go. All right? And that will be greatly helpful to all of us, including myself. All right? Make sure this is also on the event page, which is located on Facebook. And feel free to drop questions directly to me via my Facebook Messenger. If you have a question, you can drop so anonymously if you do not want to be identified, or if you have a question that you want the panel to answer. This is going to be a free, willing, open conversation. As you know, we're going to move through a myriad of topics. So while we're here, let me just bring a few people through so you can see them. I'm going to bring Miss Mac from California. I'm going to open her mic first. Miss Mac, how you doing? Are you there, Miss Mac?
I am. I'm doing good. How you doing, bro?
I'm chilling. I know you invite people to get rooted, you know, and here we ask people, you know, split their opinion. I think it matches up.
I'm here for it.
All right, so we're going to open up the voice, Miss Angel Kim. Miss Angel Kim,
hello,
are there?
Hello. I am here.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
We hear you perfectly. You're clear, crystal clear. All right.
Awesome.
And then we're going to open up Mr. Van Meadows, the station manager for 50 Radio Universe, which is a for real entertainment network sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Van, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good, bro. I'm here. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Hi, Van.
Hello.
All right. So while we're there, I'm opening up. Also, my favorite Philly, John. LaPearl and Nigger. Okay, Danielle, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Oh, good. How you doing?
I'm doing.
All right. And then I believe this is Dawood that I'm opening the line for. Dawood, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right, that's good. That's good. All right, as we get going, I'm going to read this out loud real quick for you guys and the listeners. Not saying that we're taking away from anybody's knowledge. We're just reading this so that it goes out in general so the crowd knows this is what we're dealing with. So as we're talking about, all the information is being pulled from Trauma-Informed Care, which is an implementation resource center. Can be found online. The basic question is, what is trauma? And it says trauma is a pervasive problem that results from exposure to an incident or series of events that are emotionally disturbing or life-threatening with lasting adverse effects on the individual's function and mental, physical, social, emotional, and or spiritual well-being. Right? So some of the experiences that may be traumatic include physical, sexual, emotional abuse, childhood neglect, living with a family member with mental health or substance use disorders, sudden and unexplained separation from a loved one, poverty, racism, discrimination or oppression, and violence in the community, war or terrorism. And although trauma can occur at any age, it's particularly debilitating long-term effects on children's developing brains, often referred to as an adverse childhood experience, ACEs. Exposure to experiences are common across all sectors of society, and 62% of U.S. adults have at least one ACE, and 25% of U.S. adults have three or more ACEs. All right. So, however, research has shown that the risk for ACEs is particularly elevated within certain populations, such as people who identify as Black, Hispanic, multiracial, people with less than a high school education, people with low income, or who are employed or unable to work, people who also identify as LGBTQ+. All right. So, there are so many different things that deal with the long-term effect on health there. People can become two times as much to smoke, 2.5 times have sexually transmitted infections due to choices and things of that sort. 4 times to have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, 7 times more likely to be considered an alcoholic, 10 times as likely to inject street drugs, and 12 times as likely to prompt suicide. So when we're talking about trauma and we're talking about how it informs and what it does, these things are really the basis for a lot of things that we're going to talk about this evening. So getting started. Wow, I lost my music real quick. So we're not going to limit anybody for anything. We're just going to open it up and ask, you know. We can either ask for ACEs or we say, what has been the point of trauma in your life? And we'll start and from the top and work our way down. So what has been something that has been a point of trauma in your life, Ms. Mac?
I would say more than anything, recognizing that love is not the same to everybody and that sometimes people don't understand what love is, so they project what they think it is on me, and sometimes that could be traumatizing within itself, because if you don't understand how to love, then it can cause a lot of different issues. So for me, I would say love. And people's inability to understand exactly what that means. So basically, hurt people. I believe in that very much. So.
That's true. All right. Angel Kim, what has been a point of trauma in your life?
I guess the trauma in my life would just be part of my childhood. The feeling of abandonment, because I literally was abandoned multiple times by my birth parents and then by my adoptive mother, and then also just abuse, physical abuse. So that would be a point of trauma for me. Luckily, I have worked through most of it, so I can literally talk about it without, you know, withdrawing into myself and getting depressed about it.
Okay, we're gonna come back to you in a minute. We're gonna move forward. Van Meadows, what has been a point of trauma in your life?
I guess the greatest point of trauma for me in my life was losing my best friend and my grandmother at 14, and then 5 months later, my mother. That has been the greatest trauma in my life, because from that trauma, it created this thing in me where I realized probably a couple years ago, my issue with people always leaving my life, especially women, because those two women who were very influential in my life left me early. So that trauma is pretty significant in how I deal with women and relationships.
Okay. All right. Danielle, what has been a point of trauma in your life?
Ooh,
which part should I start at? Mine started very, very young for me with being molested by the men in my family, being abandoned by my mother. She would leave me and take my brothers with her, and not being believed when I told the truth, being shunned. Oh, man, it's too much trauma to, I'm a little stuffy, too much trauma to pinpoint, but that's some of it.
Okay. Sorry, hit the wrong button, sorry. We're going to move to Dawood. Dawood, what has been a point of trauma in your life?
A point of trauma? Well, I come from a domestic violence family, and when I say domestic violence, you know, basically, specifically, my dad, like, literally brutally beat my mom. And like I said, in the class that I do, the domestic violence class that I do today, up until, like, maybe 42, whenever I would hear any kind of rumbling and I wasn't, you know, physically focused on it, my mind would automatically snap back to my dad sitting on top of my mother throwing haymakers. So that's the kind of, that's the family that I come from when I was younger. I watched that. And I think that when you see something like that, you could go one of two ways. You could either become a woman beater yourself, or you could never hit a woman and advocate for that, which is thankfully what I turned into. So that was like the number one point of trauma. But number two, I had an abusive older brother that put hands on me many, many, many times when my mom had to go to work. And there was nobody there to stop it. So the crazy thing about it is my brother will come on social media and talk about my dad and how my dad beat my mom, and he did the same exact thing to me.
Wow. Wow. I'm trying to get a good start for where we're going to go from. All right. And then Lisa Lips, I opened your mic. Lisa Lips, what has been a point of trauma in your life?
Much like Danielle, I was molested as a child as well. And family trauma, because I was expected to care for everybody else. And what I wanted or needed was never the consideration. So I'm always being put on the back burner.
It's a responsibility of being, having to care for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was told by my father that I was born to take care of him when he was old. That was my only purpose in life. So anything I tried to do outside of that was shunned or basically destroyed somehow. So I'd had no other choice but to go home.
Okay, wow. So we're already like, I've been writing this down, like, and so we are seriously, like, there's quite a few things that here that qualify for all the things that represent trauma. As far as I'm concerned, for me in particular, I've discovered that a lot of the trauma that I repressed memories of is trauma that I, you know, basically suffered from watching my parents, you know, and it was less my father, it was more my mother. And my mother, dealing with the fact that my mother was physically abusive, that she would do certain things, and I literally shut them out of my memory. And then because I'm around people who have me writing prompts, and we do Self-Care Sunday, a lot of it has been surfacing, you know. And the funny thing is, like, I was asking my son, literally, like how he could repress certain memories, because he would repress certain memories. And he's like, I simply don't remember. And literally, I think that's a coping mechanism that we might develop as we're younger to, in order to move forward and to continue. And so as I'm discovering, I'm looking at all these situations where my mother was, you know, she was amazing, but there was things that weren't too kind about her. And some of the stuff that I think about it really has stained my memory. You know, us going to get my father from his mistress's house and my mother threatening to do things to herself, like it ingrains itself in your mind. You start to remember all the things that happens. And so when we're looking at this trauma, we're looking at love, you know, how people see love, how much abuse, physical abuse takes place, you know, mental abuse, mental cruelty, you know, death, the leaving of a loved one, the person who loves on you the most and the hardest, the person who's a friend to your soul, when they leave and they die, and then there's some form of abandonment because they're not around to give you the love you used to have. The heinous crime of molestation, you know, and abandoning people and shunning them when you want to tell the truth about your situation. And, of course, domestic violence, which always affects a child because that's serious business or anything else. And then sibling violence, which your sibling acts out what happens to them to you. And then the family trauma and people also being taught to be responsible for people when they should have a childhood. These are all things for trauma. Would you guys agree? I wrote everything down so we can start from the dialogue from it. Why haven't Dawood here? Wait. Dawood, if you're here and you're on the 111, could you just hit 1 so I know I can move you up? Because I'm thinking that's you. No, you're back. That's not you. Okay. All right, because you dropped.
I got knocked off.
Oh. Blog talk is hard.
Yeah, I got knocked off. You were talking and then banging. I just got knocked off. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
Were you asking me a question, though? I know you was in the midst of telling me your story, though.
No, I was telling a story, but, you know, but we were talking about the whole thing, about the trauma, when we talked about everything else. And so as we move into, we can say that the people here on the panel, I want to thank everybody for being brave to basically share your story with me, with all the rest of the people on the panel and all the listeners that are happening. If you feel that anything is going to trigger you, feel free to log off if it gets too, you know, too much for you or anything else that's happening. If you feel that there's certain things about things you might want to explore more, we do have people that you can talk to that are professionals, and I will correct, you know, send them to you directly. And then we can continue this conversation. Is everybody okay? Because I'm going to keep checking in. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Mine don't hurt no more.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had some alcohol before I came. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's drink and talk about trauma. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do in order to feel free enough to share. What we're doing literally is actually exposing ourselves in such a way and being brave enough to share our story in order to help people find their own and be able to talk. And I already have a question for the panel when we get to it, but in speaking about this, there's also people on the line that are currently in trauma bond type relationships and dealing with physical abuse and things of that sort. So please understand that you are already helping somebody by sharing and making sure those things are happening. So again, I'll repeat, if you want something to be said, and you wanted to, please inbox me directly. You know, if you want to stay anonymous, or you can call in and press 1. And I'm going to start out with this anonymous question for the panel, and everybody can answer it. All right, and the question is, how do you explain how you're affected by trauma without trauma dumping? So when we're getting to trauma dumping, let's talk about that. Let's talk about trauma bonding first before we get into trauma dumping. So So a traumatic bond usually is an emotional attachment that develops out of a repeated cycle of abuse, devaluation, and sometimes positive reinforcement. The trauma of abuse might create some type of powerful feeling that you struggle to make sense of, especially when abuse alternates with kindness and intimacy. All right, I know what that is exactly. I've been through it. I would have honeymoon periods with my ex where things would be good for like 6 to 8 months, and then it would just be all over again in accordance to what it is that they were doing. And so that whole idea of being with someone who basically tries to take you out and then, you know, wants to make sure everything is good and let's get our family back or let's do this or something like that, that's crazy. And it's only natural to develop a bond with someone who treats you with kindness. Many of the abusive relationships begin with showers of affection, assurances of love, and it might take you by surprise the first time it happens. The person might apologize, swear to change, or say that they was upset about it. But if any of these attempts to manipulate succeed, then, you know, they'll try to get you to remember the early days of the relationship, believe that they can be that person again. All right, so it can happen in a lot of different ways. So has anyone on the panel experienced trauma bonding? And you can speak freely.
Absolutely.
And if you did, what did it look like? If you...
My way of trauma bonding was trying too hard in all my relationships, and that led me into a lot of toxic relationships where I felt like I became actually codependent on them, and I couldn't see that the shitty way that they were treating me was a form of abuse, because I lacked any bonding in my childhood and any affection in my childhood. So when I got the attention from a particular individual, I latched onto them. And I actually, like, they would tell me their backstory, just feed me the bullshit, and I would start feeling sorry for them. But they, in return, they were talking to me any kind of way. I was in one physically abusive relationship that didn't last too long, because that was actually one time when my mother stepped in and helped me and protected me, which was a big shock. But the majority of my relationships were all with very abusive men, and they were manipulative. They knew I was a very smart girl, but they knew I was lacking when it came to getting affection. And as long as they showed me that, they knew that they had me for a while. And I don't know, it took me a long time to open my eyes and see that, even throughout my marriage. I was married for quite some time. And because not only did I lack the affection and the bonding, the rest of my family, my siblings, received a lot of different gifts and stuff. I didn't get that. I got a lot of hand-me-downs, which I was cool with, but I knew the difference. And these men also would buy me nice little trinkets. Some of them very, very expensive. Some of them not so expensive, but they were trinkets. They were gifts, and I was like, oh, they really care about me. It doesn't matter how they talk to me or how they treat me or leave me behind or whatever. They're making it up for with sweet talk and good love making and affection. So that was pretty much it, my life in a nutshell.
Has anyone else experienced trauma bonding?
I think for me, it was people pleasing. I was always trying to please my family. And you got no positive feedback for everything that you did. But if you missed the mark or you made a mistake somewhere, that was hard over and over and over again. So you learn to stay in your lane and constantly try to please everybody else. Because if you make any misstep, then you're going to be punished severely for it.
Wow. Has anyone else experienced any trauma bonding?
I mean, I think everybody experiencing trauma bonding. It depends on how much we really want to talk about it. But, you know, in a general, well, I would say in a specific sense, I think that I always trauma bonded when I was getting out of a situation and didn't take the time to close that situation out and jump into a new one. That's always when I trauma bonded, because I knew that I was under some kind of I was going through some kind of emotion and trying to get over the last situation, and I jumped in with somebody else. And the old saying goes, which the OGs used to tell us when I was younger, is that the best way to get over, you know, the best way to get over a relationship is to get under a new one, which is crazy. So I think that that's most times when I trauma bonded, is when I was getting out of a situation where I loved the person and I had deep feelings, but I didn't take the time to get away from them. And that's why this last time my mentor told me that you have to leave to go live by yourself. Because I think that if you don't leave with somebody and be by yourself for a while, it's inevitable you're going to trauma bond. It's inevitable because you're in the midst of it, and the only way somebody can find you in that state attractive is if they're going through trauma themselves. Otherwise, they're going to be repulsed by you. They're going to see you in this situation, and they're not going to want any part of it. But when they find that attractive, that means they're going through it too, and therein lies the trauma bond. So I think that that's usually the setting for us. The kind of trauma bond is when we left the situation, but we didn't take time enough to heal and close it out, and we try to jump into something new.
That's a good way of looking at it. Does anyone else want to talk about trauma bonding?
I want to add on to what the gentleman was saying. I think at some point or another, the trauma bond could be there. It's just, like you said, how much a person is willing to talk about it, especially when it's associated with them and how other people may view them because of it. A lot of times what happens is we want everybody to see our soul, but not everybody is going to be able to do that. And that's where that hurt people comes in at. Because if you haven't dealt with your circumstances, you may not be the abusive one in the relationship, but in turn, you contribute to it in some way or another. And being able to take responsibility and not ask us and say, you know what, I'm not whole and complete within myself, so I can't seek that from someone else, especially if they're not whole and complete. So most definitely being able to work on yourself and understand where you may have experienced trauma, which a lot of times that could be hard. Like you were saying, Mojave, repressing it or suppressing it to the point to where you block that memory out. So a lot of times you won't even know that something is apparent until you actually experience it. And then opposed to just being able to respond in a positive way, it's a reaction, and it comes off negative, and it contributes to continued hurt. There's no growth from that. It just it takes you back. You know, for me personally, trauma bonding in that aspect is wanting the other person to know that I love them and allowing them to hurt me to show them how much I love them. Like, you know, I understand you hurting, therefore the fact that you're hurting me is obsolete, because I just want to take care of you. I just want to let you know that I love you and that you're going to be okay. But in a sense, on my part, I have to take responsibility in the fact that, hey, sometimes you can't help people. They have to help themselves. A lot of times that's what it is. You want to see the good in people, the potential, opposed to the reality of the situation, you know. So for me, that's what it is. It's
the ability to take responsibility of my part. And sometimes that's just walking away from the situation. It doesn't mean that you don't love that person. It doesn't mean that you don't care for them or want the best for them, but you have to be able to take care of you. But
Wow.
Yo, bro, can I read something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to be real quick. Most of us grow up and continue in the roles we adopted in our families of origin. For many women who love too much, those roles often meant that we denied our own needs while trying to meet the needs of other family members. Perhaps we were forced by circumstances to grow up too fast, prematurely taking on adult responsibilities because our mother or father was too sick physically or emotionally to carry out the appropriate parental functions. Or perhaps the parent was absent due to death or divorce, and we tried to fill in, helping to take care of both our siblings and our remaining parents. Maybe we became the mommy at home while our own mother worked to support the family. Or we might have lived with both parents, but because one was angry or frustrated or unhappy, this is me, and the other would not respond sympathetically, we found ourselves in the role of confidant, hearing details of their relationships that were too much for us to handle emotionally. We listened because we were afraid of the consequences to the suffering parent if we didn't, and afraid of the loss of love if we failed to fill the role prescribed for us. And so we didn't protect ourselves, and our parents didn't protect us either, because they needed to see us as stronger than we were, even though we were too immature for the responsibility we ended up protecting them. When this happened, we learned too young and too well how to take care of everyone but ourselves. Our own needs for love, attention, nurturing, and security went unmet while we pretended to be more powerful and less fearful, more grown up and less needy than we really felt. And having to deny our own learning to be taken care of, we grew up looking for more opportunities to do what we had become so good at, being preoccupied with someone else's wants and demands rather than acknowledging our own fear and pain and unmet needs. We've been pretending to be grown up for so long, asking for so little and doing so much, that now it seems too late to take our turn. So we help and help and hope that our fear will go away and our reward will be love.
Wow. How do y'all feel about that?
I agree.
Definitely agree.
I don't appreciate you reading my entire life on the radio.
Right? Yeah, you pretty much nailed it with that. That is what happens, though. It's basically everything that we've been saying. People that have been through a lot of trauma, they have been denied what they should have been given in their childhood. It usually starts in childhood. And you become a people pleaser, like Lisa Lips said. You try, you over-try. You try to make sure that everybody is okay, and you just deny yourself what you're supposed to have, that natural love and that bonding and that caring. And you just put it to the side, and you want to make sure that everybody else is okay. And you push and push and push and push, and you don't think about yourself at all. And it's kind of like you said. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
It's kind of like you said. It's a defense mechanism as well, because of the trauma that you suffered. The brain and the human body is only going to allow you to deal with certain levels of pain before it shuts down. And keeping you protected from certain memories and different behaviors will kick in to keep you protected that way. And that's pretty much it for now.
No, that's serious. It's definitely I think a lot of things that we discover from trauma is that it creates a pain body, and then I think that a lot of us who have traumatic experiences growing up. You know, it's my opinion that I feel like we become, like, the people who learn to actualize and move into a higher state of being or consciousness end up becoming healers in one form or the other, or are able to withstand much more of what people, because, you know, when people trauma dump, we're able to take it, and that's why people, we attract those people to pour that pain into us, because it simultaneously activates our pain body while relieving theirs, and sometimes we take the pain on because we're empaths or you know, people who have this high, you know, we're able to be resilient towards whatever that they're giving us. And so, like, for me, like, I had to come to terms with a lot of things that I really wasn't, you know, like, now I'm dealing with repressed memories. But now I understand that most of my choices about women was all about saving my mother, all about the things that I saw. And then realizing, you know, because the hardest thing is to realize is that you keep choosing people that are like them because they're no good, like, in the sense of seeing things. You always wanted to help out. I always wanted to stop my mother from crying over my father. You know, I always wanted to stop that feeling of being in the house and thinking, like, our lives would be so much better if this man was here. And then literally, you know, this is the story that was weaved, but literally when he was there, it was like the best days on the face of the planet, the best memories, the best ideas, the things that were happening, because my father brought balance. And so it worked as a double-edged sword for me, because one, I kept choosing women that had this literal trauma that in one form or the other that resembled exactly what my mother went through, her abuse, the things that happened. Like later on in life, my mother started telling me stuff that I never even thought that I wanted to hear. And literally listening to finding out someone put her in the hospital. She was in a coma, you know, because the dude put her in a coma from hitting her in the back of the head so hard, you know, to the point where you're seeing different things, to the point that she rejects one of our brothers because he looks like his father, and she refuses to deal with him, no matter how much he tries, and all he wants is his mother. That's all he wants. And it's like, it's almost like it's not a jealousy thing. It's like one of those things where, like, we were at my nephew's wedding, and he literally just hung on my mother. Like, he hung. I was like, yo, that's what, like, I was mad. I was like, yo, it's my mama, too. It's my mama. You can't hog my mama. Stop hogging my mama. Right? I really thought that way. But I had to realize that I've had my mother all my life. Well, not all my life, because there were certain things that happened that didn't happen. But I realized that when my father came to save us, I didn't look at it as him saving us. I looked at it as him taking us from him. But I realized that we didn't nearly bleed as much when we were with our father. We didn't really experience the same pain, the same hunger, the same things that happened. You know, and there's so many different things that happened. So even in choosing my ex, similar, I bonded with her, and I refused to leave her no matter how bad she treated me, because I was trying to save my mother. Now, these are all salient truths, and we pick these things up when we become these things and when we're talking about it and stuff like that. So I'll read that second. All right, so does anyone else want to talk about trauma bonding while we're here, you know? Before we move forward, I want to make sure I give everybody the opportunity. I'll take it as a no. Okay.
So, this is Angel Kim.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that, you know, what I have witnessed is when you're dealing with trauma bonding, is that you'll see a collective of people gathering because they're bonded in their trauma, and they can't move on. And they're just bouncing that negativity off of one another. So what it does is it increases the tension, it increases the anger that they have within themselves, and then they project it on others around them. And that's what I have been witnessing the past few weeks.
Well, you know what? I agree with you wholeheartedly. And not to speak about the situation, but speaking of the situation without naming names, I know I've become a boogeyman of sorts. And in the sense of that thing, it's like, it's not like I've become a replacement for people's pain. Like, I'm not even talking to them. I'm talking to the pain bodies. Everything else is going on. Where someone, literally, their petty is so severe that anything bothers them. And it's because of how emotional that they truly feel about everything that's going on around them. And, yes, the bonds that intensify between them, because it literally inhibits their ability to actually not try to transfer that pain in the worst way. And when somebody rejects the idea of accepting the pain that they want to get, you know, when somebody's like, nah, I'm not here for that, you know, the anger for not being able to transfer the pain or the anger to someone else, the anger behind believing someone else's pain is greater than what actually happens is actually phenomenal to me, in a sense. But, you know, groupthink is a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And I think that aids and assists in the trauma bonding. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And yes, we actually have all been experiencing that. It's been kind of weird. But before we get into the trauma dumping, is everybody familiar with pain bodies and what they mean?
No.
Anybody? Okay.
No.
All right. All right, so just for the record, because I have something here to read, and I have a question I have to ask. But, all right, so what the pain body is, right, and I was hoping that Stephanie would get it, because Stephanie has a super dope way of explaining this. But the technical term for it is the pain body is the intensification of ego in the form of negative emotion. I repeat, the pain body is the intensification of ego in the form of negative emotions. The term pain body seems to come from the teachings of Eckhart Tolle, and you can call it suffering, past pain, painful emotional energy, pain energy, vasana, or pain consciousness, all right? It's a kind of life form, a kind of energy that feeds off emotional pain. It consists of past emotional pain that has not been fully accepted or released and feeds off of more of it for survival. Yikes. it feeds off emotional pain. It consists of past emotional pain that has not been fully accepted or released, and it feeds off more for survival. You may experience that as anxiety, anger, depression, or some other negative emotional state. You may experience it strongly. It may be very weak for you, a mild discomfort in the background. It can be personal. It can be inherited or a part of the collective human pain body. Where it comes from does not really matter. The way to deal with it is always the same, right? And it says, have you ever wondered why you experience negative or painful emotion when you'd rather not? It seems undesirable, yet you still seem to suffer with it. This is because the pain body enjoys it. Be alert to something inside you that seems to become angry, fearful, stressed, or in any way negative. You know, if you feel pain, anything, it's a strange enjoyment for it. It's the pain body. Your awareness of it breaks identification with it, which therefore weakens it. The only mistake that needs to be corrected is that it is not you. It is a separate energy that is attached to you. So one of the things that we're talking about is also the releasing of certain pains and coming to terms, like me admitting things out loud or saying what it is, even my choices. You know, that was attached to my pain body. That was attached to very specific memories that were started to resurface and do things. Like, I've done work for emotional needs, but my pain body, I always have to work on it. Like, I have to practice kindness. I have to practice, you know, different things in order to release that so that I can come. I try to pour in to as much as everybody I can with no expectations, because I never had people to pour into me that way. I've always had to get my stuff the hard one way. It's kind of crazy. But, oh, wow. I'm sorry, Dawood. We're missing out. So, going back to the thing, has anyone experienced the pain body?
I could say I most definitely have.
And it goes to not wanting to address the emotional part of it, so then it turns into something physical, because a lot of times that happens too. Like, I experience migraines a lot. And a lot of times it's because I'm not addressing some sort of an emotion, because I just don't want to, because I want to see the positive in the situation. But most of the time, it's not even about that. It's just being able to address a certain situation and to be able to respond accordingly. But who wants to be angry all the time? Like, ah, oh, that made me upset. You know, especially when you express yourself or try to communicate to certain individuals, and then it goes on deaf ears, you know, then it's pointless. So then you find yourself even more angry. So a lot of times, my emotional pain, it turns into physical pain. I know that for sure.
Hmm. Wow. Has anyone experienced a pain body?
It's pretty much like she said. I would suffer from migraines, and that was because I wasn't releasing or expressing how I felt. For years, I had an issue with when I would try to express how I felt or just wanted to talk about something, clear the air about something, and be cut off by that person, like, I don't have time for this. It used to be a major, major trigger for me. And then I would lash out at that person, and then I'm looking like the bad guy or the crazy person, not knowing why. And that was pretty much my thing. I had to come to terms with that and realize that, but that was a lot of therapy. I realized what was going on with me and why I was acting the way I was acting, responding to people that didn't allow me to get my point across and say what I had to say. And that was pretty much it with me. I'm off that for now. So.
Mm. Wow. You want to help? Go ahead.
I would say for me, I deal with pain bodies, but maybe in a different sense. Like, I deal with so many people and talk to so many people with their pains and what they're going through emotionally. And I allow people to dump on me. So what that does is I have bad insomnia. I don't sleep, literally. I can get a few minutes here, maybe an hour there. But if I sleep longer than 3 hours, I wake up with a bad migraine for the rest of the day, and it's hard to get rid of it. And I have to stop allowing people to basically dump their baggage onto me. So that's how that's what I deal with as far as a pain body. It's just the lack of sleep and then dealing with the migraines.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I had a terrible migraine today. But anybody else? Oh, Van, hold on. I'm supposed to... Van, do you have any experience with the pain body?
I mean, I did. I know when I first was going through my my divorce, I couldn't sleep, and I would actually wake up in like cold sweats, because I was internalizing all of the emotions, and I wasn't letting them out, and I was just keeping them. So I definitely have experienced it better now. Because I always try to think logically and not on the side of emotion. So I always want to make sure that I'm thinking logically and not within my emotions before I make a decision. Yeah, I have.
Mm. Well, I think that the funny thing is referring to you, Angel Kim, with the pain bodies, which you know, literally, like, I had not heard of the term until Stephanie had brought it up. And then as I started doing research for this and seeing what it was, I realized that some people enjoy anger. They think that anger makes them powerful. They think that anger makes them everything else, and they're the most powerful when they can anger and give you all of the benefit of this negative emotion that they're stuffing you with. I've been around certain people where I can get physically ill around certain people, and then then my other physically ill is when I feel violent, like because of their anger and the negative emotion, like I feel violent, like literally like sick enough to do things. I remember Danielle told me, Danielle was like, don't kill nobody, you know. But the funny thing was, my anger was that bad, because my protective anger is one thing, and then my hurt anger is another. But when I'm angry, I would literally black out. And the funny thing is, the best example that I've seen of the blackout anger that happens in my family, like, I've seen people black out from anger before. I never thought, like, I always thought that was just like, you know, oh, they just went ham on this particular thing, but I've seen blackout anger. And so my son, when he was younger, his sister kept hitting him, and he was very, very angry. And then he picked her up, and he slammed her. And then he was so in shock by what he did, he ran around the city for like 3 hours. And like, we were trying to find him. Like, he felt shame, he felt all these different things.
Wow.
Because he literally blacked out. He didn't remember picking her up over his head, nothing. Like,
wow.
So knowing that people, like, I know I'm capable of it, I know he's capable, like, I know that's hereditary. Because I got it from my mother. My mother would black out and get angry. And so a lot of times, stuff that she would do, she would remember that she did it. And I'm like, oh, you damn near killed this. Damn near killed this. And she's just like, I don't remember that blackout anger. And I know I've had a couple blackout anger situations I refuse to talk about. So when my son said it, I was like, God. I was like, yo, you got him too? I was like, him too? You know? And that's why I tell people, like, you got to practice these things. You know, much like anything else, practice kindness, practice being a better person, because, you know, it's so easy to just do the worst thing. And I think a lot of people, when they have these pain bodies, they walk around and be like, yo, who can I piss off today? Who can I hurt today? Who can I say something to today to piss them off or to make them upset or to do certain things or to be... You know, me doing this makes me powerful. And I'm like, no, it makes you actually weak. But, hey, that's what it is. But, you know, if anybody else would like to talk about pain bodies, we do have a caller that called in, so I'm pretty sure, wait a second, that disappeared. They was here. I guess I was taking too long. We did have a caller. But are people getting kicked off? Hello?
Hello? I'm here.
I'm still here. No, I'm noticing it. It looks like either people are hanging up or people are getting kicked off. I'm not sure. Because Dawood said he had got kicked off earlier, so I'm just wondering if it's a Blog Talk thing. Very strange.
More than likely.
Yeah. All right. So now we talked about that. Let's talk about trauma, going back to trauma bonding. All right, so there's a person listening that's currently in a trauma bonding, but they're actively removing the trauma bonding, as it says, but it's not safe for them, you know. So removing this trauma bond, they're trying to figure out how to do it the best way without losing their life, losing, you know, their quality of life, because the person is a malignant narcissist and everything else. So for those who have been in a trauma bond with someone else, what is the best thing that you suggest to them to free themselves of their bond and to move forward into their life?
I would suggest they stop and
when they are going through what triggers them, try to stop yourself for a second and recognize that something is triggering you at that point in time. First of all, seek some counseling because you're not going to get through this by yourself. Usually if you have been through something that devastating where it brings out the worst in you and you just are on a seek and destroy mission, you definitely need some outside help. And that's, that's pretty much where it stopped for me. I had to start recognizing that I was snapping a little bit too much. And it would be the littlest thing where I was being denied something, an opening to something. And I'm like, you know what, this is going too far. Something's not right here. It's not always the other person. Seek counsel. Try to get a grip on yourself and recognize right there when you are acting out or reacting. And, try to just recognize it and get some help for it. That's pretty much it with me.
All right, does anybody else have any?
I do. Seeking help is most definitely the most important aspect of that, especially it sounds like safety is an issue. So creating like a safety plan, you know, if this happens, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do this, you know, contacting the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Because a lot of times people, they don't want to leave because they don't have the resources to. But there are resources out there. There's shelters, there's housing assistance, there's different things of that nature. However, just making a note of it, being able to understand where you are and how you want to move, having a plan of action is most definitely the most important. But recognizing that safety is an issue. So you want to move in it the safest way possible. I say connect as soon as possible because if safety is an issue, that's a situation that you want to get yourself out of as soon as possible. It's easier said than done, but, you know, you gotta start with today and making it happen one step at a time and eventually getting yourself out of that situation because, I mean, it's your life. I think it's harder, especially if kids are involved. You know, it's a lot of different factors. So then, you know, you want to just really create a plan of action and stick to that plan in the safest way possible. And a lot of times the best way to do that is to just speak to somebody who has the resources that you need to get you out of that situation as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Oh, you're breaking up really bad.
Yeah, you're in the matrix.
Really, really bad.
We can't hear you.
Nope.
You've gone down the rabbit hole. We can't hear you.
Yeah, it's a lot of interference.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Yeah, we can hear you. It's
an
echo,
yeah.
But we can hear you.
Is that
better?
No echo?
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
better.
Perfect now.
Yeah, sorry. It's crazy because I have to call back in, so I had to dial in with my regular phone and I just had to get back to where I was.
Please enter your host pin.
We'll see how this works out. I'm clear though, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's not cool.
Hello? Is that better?
Crystal, oh, you're
clear.
Very clear now, yes.
Yeah.
I'm very clear.
Crystal.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, it clicked me off. I had to click back in. It's weird. Hold on a second. Cut this down. There should be no echo. There's no echo, right?
No, yeah, click.
No, there's not.
All right, yeah, some technical difficulties. Lots of fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning how to navigate, Ben Meadows. Did you see me do it? What to tell? I didn't even ask for help.
You handled that very well, bro. You handled that very well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. For those who are listening, welcome back to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is War Council. War Council is an egalitarian conscious creative panel that discusses dialogues around community issues. Tonight we're talking about trauma bonding, and that we're going to talk about trauma dumping. Now, for a fact, we got a question on the floor also, but let's talk about what the difference between venting and trauma dumping, all right? So there's a fine line between venting and what psychology calls trauma dumping. It's a very hard pill to swallow. It means when unresolved trauma is unconsciously dumped through anger, venting, and punishment, and the receiver becomes overwhelmed and drained. Trauma dumping may also result in trauma bonding, especially when there's a codependency involved. We're going to repeat the same pattern in our relationships without the conscious awareness. All right, so it's one of the most common reactions to discomfort of learning about the thin privilege and how it reinforces stigmas and oppression. All right, so whenever someone is talking about trauma, you know, and everybody's going through shit, and somebody's just like, they see you and they pour into you all of the negative shit that they're going through, literally. So my question to the panel before I ask the other question I got, have you been involved in a trauma dumping? Has someone done a trauma drive-by? Has someone vented to you where they told you everything, but they just kept pouring into you, and every time they see you, that's all they do. They don't talk to you about anything else. They don't care how you're doing. They don't care what you're doing. They just want to be able to pour into you every chance that they get to tell you negative things. Now, I have been a trauma dumper before. I know what it looks like, and sometimes I get it. I take on a lot, but also sometimes I get it. Dawood, if he was here, he'd tell you he gets a lot of my trauma dumping. Literally. Then gets it 0.5% of my trauma dumping, but it's because the trauma is similar. But I really admit that on radio. But have you been a person who has received a trauma dump? Anybody can talk.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I still receive it.
Not longer ago than yesterday, I got a good Tramadol.
So what happened?
I have a girlfriend, and I use that lightly, who only calls to tell me about everything that's wrong in her life. And once she's finished telling me everything she's got to say, she's not interested in what I have to say at all. And she's ready to get off the phone if I want to talk. And it's a very recurring situation, and to the point now where when she calls, she doesn't even, like, ask how I'm doing. As soon as I pick up the phone, she's like, are you busy? And if I say no, then she just goes right into it. And she dumps all of her marriage issues and business issues and personal issues and everything that she's feeling about whatever's going on with her. And then she's like, well, thanks for talking to me. And she's ready to hang up the phone.
I'm still dealing with that. I have to fall back from people because me being a very good listener, people find it extremely easy to talk to me, but I can only absorb so much of that energy, and I have to fall back. And they still try and contact me, like, where are you? But, you know, they don't ask me, what's going on with you? How you doing? How you feeling? None of that comes into play. It's always like, it's just that, are you busy? You know? And then they go right into, let me tell you this and this and this and that and that and that and that. And I'm like, oh, God. All right. Yeah. And me trying to be helpful, Harriet, I will sit there and I will listen to it. But when they're done talking about it, I'm learning how to fall back and give myself space between them, because it still happens to me on a daily basis with people in my life. People in their lives tend to be drawn to me because of that. So, yeah, I'm still getting it. It ain't no fun. You have to set boundaries, though, and that's what I'm learning. Boundaries are very important.
Yeah, I'm slowly learning that lesson as well, because I get the ones who call and pretend that they're trying to check on me, too, that, hey, how you doing? You've been doing okay? And then I go, okay, yeah, I'm doing all right. Well, yeah, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And, it has nothing to do with if I'm okay or not. It's all about what they want. I actually just had to, like, end a connection with someone because his only reasoning for contacting me is for the things that he wanted from me. It had nothing to do with whether he was actually checking on me or not. And at one point, I was really sick over the winter, and he called and was like, I need to come check on you. I want to stop by. And then he comes by, and he's all about his own agenda. It's not about me being sick. You haven't noticed that I'm 2 weeks to, like, make a cup of coffee, but you're here dumping your stuff off on me.
Yeah. Very draining.
Sounds like a chapter.
It's depressing.
Has anyone else experienced trauma dumping or drive-by trauma dumping?
Yeah, bro. My brother is notorious for this. My brother will call, go through the how you doing, hey, but then immediately diarrhea of the mouth about his issues, about what's going on, about what's happening. And that is his only purpose for calling. He'll call me, he'll call my dad, and that is his only purpose. He'll go weeks, months without calling. Then all of a sudden, just out the blue, because he's had an issue, he'll call and he'll just diarrhea the mouth. He'll just dump it all. And she always gets me to a point where I have to make him reevaluate himself, because I'm literally tired of hearing it, because it's the same sob story. I said to him, I says, what are you doing about it? But what can I do? I said, well, you could be a man and grow up. Stop acting like a child. You in your 30s. There's no reason for you to act this way. You're a grown man. And I get off the phone with him because I just can't take it. I can't take it. He irritates my soul when he does that.
Wow. Wow. That's deep. Super deep. Ladies and gentlemen, good people, one and all. People are sharing some amazing stories here on the Pinkfield Radio Universe. Currently, the time is 10:29. We're going to finish up with this question and then ask some questions. And of course, we have a caller. Hold on. Area code 470, who may I be speaking?
Hey, this is Murder. How you doing?
Hey, Murder.
Hi.
How are you?
Murder,
how you been?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
What's up with y'all? I got my things. And I can actually come to shows now, so y'all.
Yeah, this is
what's going around. Good to hear you, finally. Damn it.
So what y'all talking about tonight?
We're talking about trauma. We're not doing poetry tonight. We're doing war counseling.
Okay.
But we are talking about, we're talking about trauma, you know, and we're talking about trauma, bonding, and right now we're talking about trauma dumping, you know, having someone that might drive by and dump their trauma on you, literally. So.
Shoot. I mean, that's happened to me, and I'm pretty much guilty of the same thing. Like, I can't say it only happened to me and I ain't never done it to somebody else, but it pretty much sucks when it happens though, because you feel like they're using you, they just calling you for their own gain and their own bullshit, you know, but they don't have the time to say, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. So, and at least mean it and listen to what you have to say. So yeah, I get it.
Wow. All right, so thank you, Murder.
You were
very welcome. Has anyone else experienced trauma dumping before I move on to these questions?
I think it's very more apparent like online too. Sometimes I avoid scrolling down news feeds just for the simple fact that trauma dumping happens a lot online, you know, and it's almost depressing because you wonder what is the person's intention of sharing certain information where they can't necessarily get real feedback or even identify a solution to whatever their problem or whatever they're going through is, you know. A lot of times people, they just want to seek attention. So knowing a person's intention of doing what they're doing and what do they want from it is very important too. It's like, well, what are your intentions for telling me this? Are you seeking guidance? Are you seeking clarity? Are you venting? Are you just having a moment? Or you just want to just dump all your stuff on me, and then what am I to do with it? You know, I know Angel Kim was saying that's why she suffers from insomnia, because she has all these different issues that are not necessarily her own that she's trying to process through. And that's the hardest part, is you can't necessarily process someone else's trauma. You can understand it. You can assist them with seeking self-validation, but there has to be a solution involved with it, or else it's kind of like pointless, and it just leads to other issues, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. You're right. I think people who are empathic, we naturally have people gravitate towards our energy, because the energy is healing, or it's a balm for certain people to relieve them of whoever it is that they're suffering from at that particular time. But I also like to point out to some people see people out just to pour on them, and some people do use trauma dumping as a way of taking advantage or to gain sympathy in order to make you feel what they need to feel, what you need to feel. So, you know, some people will literally influence something simply because their trauma informs them that they can come in and do these type of things and make those things happen. So that being said, all right, so question number one to the panel. All right. All right, I don't think we're... So the question is this. How do you explain that you're affected by trauma without trauma dumping? That's a very good question. Anybody want to take it?
Repeat that, please.
How do you explain how you're affected by trauma without trauma dumping?
Oh, in a sense, it still is, but I think you need to, when you approach that person or you get in contact with the person that you want to vent to, it's all a form of venting. I think you need to let them know, you know, I don't want to bring you down. I don't want to ruin your day or anything like that, but I really need to talk to you about what I've been dealing with or what I've been going through or something that, you know, somebody put on me, and I need to get this out of my system. I think you need to make it clear to that individual that's exactly what it is, so they don't take it as, you know, oh, here goes another one and this and this and that. And try not to continue going to that same person with the same issues and becoming, because it can start to sound like whining after a while. And people know when you are like an energy vampire per se, or just, you know, choosing them to dump on. Like I said, try not to go to them too often and keep on bringing the same thing to them. And not even, it don't even have to be the same issue, but just the same attitude, can I say? I don't know. You don't want to continue to make it like a common thing with them, because now they feel like you are dumping on them. That's the only reason why you are contacting them. There's no more, there's no concern there for them or consideration for them. I think that's one of the good ways to go about it.
Anyone else?
I think for me, but my situation is unique because I have a really close family member that both of us have our issues, and we tend to call each other and just like rush it all out, tell it all. She says everything she wants to say about whatever the situation is that she wants to say about it, and I do the same to her, and then we kind of like make jokes about it even sometimes just to clear the air, but we just, because neither one of us is looking for the other to get solutions. We just want to get rid of it. So she dumps all her stuff and I dump all my stuff, and then we joke about it and we move on. And it just kind of clears the air.
Oh, okay. Anyone else? Ms. Angel Kim. Hello? Angel, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Experience? Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Okay. I believe we can hear you. Do you think, how do you think a man looks at, hold it. Let me ask a question, because I'm actually looking at something else, and that's why I got that confused. All right. How do you explain you're affected by trauma without trauma dumping?
If I just need to talk with someone, you know, I first
reach out, you know, say, hey, I need to talk, or, you know, somehow allow, let them know that, you know, I need a listening ear, to make sure that they're okay with it. You know what I mean? So that, because you never know what other people are going through. So you have to be careful with that. And then if they're, you know, there to listen and whatnot, if it's an issue that can be resolved, I have to make sure that I'm open enough to receive any suggestions to resolve that issue or a way to move away from that trauma, you know. Because if we're just telling the trauma and we're not trying to find a resolve or move past it, then that's where it becomes trauma dumping. Because now I'm just dumping that on you, letting it sit with you, and then I'll probably go dump it on the next person. But if I'm sharing something, it's because I, one, need to get it off my chest, but two, I need to figure out what kind of solution I can come up with so that either I can move away from this trauma or I can solve the issue at hand.
Yeah, I can agree with what Angel Kim is saying. In my situation, it's many years of knowing this person and having that kind of a bond with each other where we can just dump it all and then just kind of joke our way through it. But in the joking, we kind of find, you know, solutions for each other. You know, suppose you try this or maybe you'll try that, or, you know, but it's part of that camaraderie. We've known each other since we were kids. So, you know, that's a different situation. Whereas most people don't have someone who they can be that way with. And the people that you can talk to sometimes just get overwhelmed by everything and aren't any help because they don't know how to talk to each other. With me and her, if there's something hurtful, I can tell her what she did hurt me, or she can tell me what I did hurt, and we can cry through it and find a solution. But we've known each other forever. Like I said, we've known each other since we were 3 and 5. So, you know, that's a lifetime of knowing each other and getting to that point. But that finding someone that can have that honesty with is difficult, that can say, okay, I hear what you're saying, and this is what I see in it, and not be offended by their opinion of it or their solution for it. But sometimes we're guilty of that as well. We want to just dump it all, and then when somebody comes with an answer, you're like, I don't really agree with what you're saying, but you either clam up because you don't want to argue with them, or you do end up in an argument, or you take it for what it is, and it's meant to be good advice for you.
Somebody just came through. This person's roommate, anonymous, they said, sometimes people dump because they trust you. The greatest feat for you as the ear is to not internalize the other person's trauma. Sometimes your role is to simply listen. Unfortunately, sometimes the answer for the ear is, it's not my circus, not my monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Agreed.
With that also, where is it? I have another thing here. All right. As a result of this, of all these things that are happening, murder just dropped. As a result of this, how have you resolved problems into healing yourself when you've experienced a certain type of trauma in your life that has affected you deeply, has caused issues or anything else? In my case, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for other people. How have you found a solution to your trauma? Anybody can answer this.
Approach
prayer. Seriously. Knowing that you are releasing this when you talk to spirit, you have to honestly understand the relationship that you have with him and that you are really, really letting it go. He's taking it from you. Well, that's how I deal with it now, and it works.
Okay.
I used to keep it all in. And then I have relationships with a few people where I can actually let go with them because, yeah, I do trust them. Other than that's pretty much it. I know how to let stuff go now. I know how not to hold on to it.
Beautiful. Has anyone have anyone else have any strategies for how you healed or created a coping strategy for your trauma bond or your pain body?
I guess one of my coping strategies is writing poetry. I find that whenever I'm internalizing something as a part of my trauma, it helps me to write it out and just get it out. Prayer also works, and having a relationship with your creator, certainly he or she, whichever you choose, knows you intricately enough to help you get through whatever it is you're going through. Otherwise, it wouldn't allow you to go through it. You know, therapy, you know, whether you believe it or not, talking to your peers as you trauma dump, if they allow you to, it's therapeutic because you're talking to someone who hopefully will be able to give you some sound advice on what you can do, what you should do. Because they're your friends, and I use that term very, very loosely, because I have a handful of friends that I really are able to, I am able to trauma dump into them, and vice versa. But that's just me. That's how I deal. Those are my coping strategies. Counseling is definitely in my future. Because I recognize that there are certain issues that I just can't work out within myself. And I need that before I move forward with the next phase of my life. So that's just me.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got in the car. But, for me, what helped me and continues to help me, because the thing about trauma is that it's there. You can heal from it, but it's still there. You know, it's still a part of you. Being able to recognize and avoid self-blaming, like blaming yourself for the things that you've been through or blaming others for it, it kind of helps with avoiding some of the negative aspects of trauma, such as like anger and things of that nature, such as continuing a certain circumstance. Because you could get out of one situation and find yourself in the same situation after that if you haven't fully dealt with it. So for me, revealing the trauma, being able to identify it, releasing it, I release it through my poetry, journal writing. I talk to my family about it. I've never sought therapy myself. However, I do believe that therapy works. I seek therapy through my penis. I seek therapy through my love because I have a huge support system. And working towards letting go. You know, sometimes we hold on to our trauma because it's a part of us, and we know that it's always going to be there, and it's almost comfortable, in a sense, to be in a certain place. It's scary to be in a different place because you don't know what to expect. But it's a part of life, you know, you never know what to expect. But you can expect greater if you heal from your trauma. If you're able to use your trauma to better yourself or better someone else. So for me, the biggest factor was avoiding self-blame.
I definitely agree with you. Definitely, you have to identify your trauma. Know what that trauma is. Know what your triggers are for that trauma. And you got to do the steps. You got to work through it. Because if you don't do the steps, you're just sitting there with it, and you're gonna stay with you. I don't think we ever get over, like she said, get over your trauma. But you can work through them so that they don't hinder you from functioning in life. And a lot of people are sitting in their traumas, and they can't function because they're not trying to work through it. You know, they don't want to let go of it. I know people that are still holding on to certain traumas that they've gone through for many, many years. And for those people, just talking about it to a friend or a family member might not help. You might have to get professional help. Somebody who's not biased, somebody who can actually help you work through the steps so that you can function back in life. Journaling and writing is definitely an outlet for me, but also reading for me. It doesn't matter what it is. I read books all the time. It helps me, just takes me out of that mind frame for a moment. Takes me out of having to necessarily just sit there and stew in whatever issue that I'm going through. I like to draw. I like to, you know, just do activities, any kind of activities that helps me. And then meditation, just being alone sometimes, pulling away from other people and just actually meditating and thinking about and praying about, you know, what I'm going through and getting myself back centered, back grounded, or as Ms. Max says, back rooted within myself.
I can agree.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I can agree with that too. I tend to like to go somewhere where there's a large body of water when I'm in that kind of a space. It's something about the salt air and that perspective, you know, that helps calm those issues for me. Because it's like when you're in your pain, it feels huge, you know, so going out by the edge of the water, suddenly you're this little speck on the planet out there amongst all this humongous body of water and this vastness of the beach or whatever, and it kind of puts you into a perspective of, you know, okay, so the world's not crashing down on me. Let me get it together.
Hello?
Mojave?
Unmute yourself, Mojave.
I keep doing it.
I was like talking. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that what happened. All right, but is there anyone else that has any other coping strategy? I want to make sure everyone's being heard. More importantly for me, besides being able to write poetry and things like that, surrounding myself with like-minded folks. A lot of times I internalize more than I know, so it causes great internal problems. Sometimes it's like I feel like my intestines are going to come out at some point, and a lot of it has to do with negative emotions that are pent up and sore, and it makes you tired. It runs you, but you have to figure out how to get rid of that relationship, that pain body that's affecting you, because it's usually something that's much, much deeper that, you know, you're making a surface issue. However, because it is 10:53, and we are actually going to end early because I definitely have something to do tomorrow, and I have lots of things to do tomorrow. But Ned Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in Epiphany Radio Universe for the rest of the week, please?
Absolutely. Join us tomorrow night in the Love Zone with your hosts, Ms. VIP and Lopero La Negra. Thursday night is Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, is Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night, y'all, Poetic Therapy with Lopero La Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. Sunday night's The Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, Lopero La Negra, essentially Janice running the event page, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we'll be back here next Tuesday for one of my hobby shows, Fly Speak, Honey Drippers, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
Next week
it's
Honey Drippers.
Honeydripper 2.0. You know what? Just this is why we call him Iron Man. Iron Man.
Well,
Javi, back to you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Concert. Thank you. Thank you,
Grand
Battles. We were definitely on it to make sure that we will be doing Honeydrippers number 8. Heartbreak Hotel. We'll be running back the show from Sunday, running back on Tuesday, but what a difference. It's open mic, and you can join and spit your poetry. So that will be here. Bring all your heartbreak poems, or, you know, F My Ex poems, all those other. Come on, relate, relax, release, get free, be with us. It's going to help you out a little bit. We're going to do some really good heartbreak poetry, so, you know, it'll be nice. Now, all right, so we're going to do some final words because we've got 5 minutes left. We're going to run through as quickly as possible. We're going to start with Ms. Mack. Ms. Mack, final words.
Hey, self-love is the best love. Look yourself in the mirror. Identify why you love yourself. Identify your boundaries. Identify exactly what it is that you want in life and go after it. Be good or be good at it.
All right, Miss Angel Kim.
Protect yourself, protect your space, protect your energy. Don't allow others to drain you from your peace of mind, from your energy, because people can be emotional vampires. So just always protect yourself. If that means cutting them off, cut them off. If that means limiting your time around them, do that. But just remember, you know, self-love is the best love. So learn to love yourself.
Super dope. Van Meadows.
It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to let it out. It's okay to cry. It's okay to reach out to others. But whatever you do, don't internalize so much that you forget who you are.
Mm. Wow. Danielle, final thoughts.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, recognize who you are. Love who you are. Every part of you. Understand it's okay to make mistakes. No self-sabotaging frame of mind, no thoughts like that. And just, you know, set boundaries with people, okay? And know that every day that you wake up, your crown is blessed, and it's going to work out for you. That means that you have another chance to go about it a different way and still work it out. That's it. Peace.
All right. Lisa Lips.
seek professional help. Sometimes that is an issue with our community. Therapy is a good thing. And find someone that you click with, not just whatever therapy comes along. And otherwise, self-care, take care of yourself, make a space in your home where you can relax, play whatever music you like, burn incense, light candles, whatever it is that relax.
You're right. Absolutely. All right, well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, who came and participated here in Epiphany Radio Universe, presenting the War Council, Trauma Bonding, Dumping, and Healing. It's been a lovely hour. I'd like to personally thank everybody who sat on the panel, Ms. Mack, Angel Kim, Van Meadows, Dawu, Danielle, Lisa Lips, Murder for stopping through, and some of the anonymous questions that we received. It's been a pleasure conducting and being a part of this whole thing with you guys. The playback should be up in about 15, 20 minutes. It's a camp day tomorrow. It's very early for me. But I thank you for coming out. This is Epiphany Radio Universe. It is a For Real Entertainment Network. Take your socks off. Baby. Thank y'all for coming. God bless y'all. Be safe. Love to everyone always. Full with my heart. I appreciate you all. All right?
All right.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for participating. Yeah. One
good
love,
night.
One mic. And love
one
to
love,
everyone.
One mic.
All right? All right, so this recording will self-destruct in 10 seconds. 10, 9.
Y'all have a good night.
Six. Y'all supposed to be saying goodbye to each other. Five.
Good night, guys.
Peace,
life,
y'all.
Bye.
Love
y'all.
Bye.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no, the car crashed. Good night.